to read from the Bible. And then after we read from the Bible, what happens is that usually me, sometimes other people, what we'll do is we'll explain why what we just read in the Bible is awesome. How the Bible, what we just read in the Bible, talks about how amazing Jesus is and what does it mean for us. Okay, so we're going to do that. So if you have your Bibles, what we did actually, we did a little bit of cheating today. We put the piece in the Bible that we're reading, we put it on a little blue piece of paper. So if you want to take a look at that, you can. I think I stole from some people over here. All right, so you get that out. I'm going to read from the Bible. We're going to read a part from the Bible from John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 22. So I'm going to read from the Bible, and then what we're going to do is I'm going to explain what that means and how it makes Jesus look even more amazing and how it is Jesus is really awesome. Okay, so we're going to read John chapter 3, verse 22. You can read along, and then when we're done, I'll explain it a little bit. All right. So after this, Jesus and his disciples, those are his helpers, went into the Judean countryside and remained there with them and was baptizing. He was dunking people in the water. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salem because water was plentiful. There was lots of water and people were coming there to be baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now, a discussion arose between John's disciples and a Jew over purification, and they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, teacher, he who is with you across the Jordan, the one who you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him." John answered, "A person can't receive even one thing unless it's given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, I'm not the Savior, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase and I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all." That's Jesus. "He who is of the earth," that's us, "belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Not everybody believes him. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For he gives the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, without measure. The Father loves the Son," so God the Father loved Jesus, "and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son," whoever believes in Jesus, "has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son," whoever, Jesus, "shall not see life, but the wrath, the punishment of God remains on him." So that's the Bible. And now, it's my fun job to get to explain what this means. So this part of the Bible talks about a man named John. A man named John. And John was, we call him Baptizer John. Can you say Baptizer John? Say, I didn't hear it loud enough. I think maybe the girls were a little louder than the boys. So let's see if we can do this again. Can you say Baptizer John?
Baptizer John!
Girls still won. Okay. Before Baptizer John was born, his parents were visited by an angel, and the angel said, "Hey, you're going to have a baby. He's going to be a miracle baby, and his job is to get God's people ready for God's great rescue king to come." God's sending a great rescue king to come, and John the Baptizer, your little baby who's going to be born, when he's older, he's going to tell everybody and get everybody ready for the great rescue king to come. So when Baptizer John grew up, he got older, he was a man, and he became the most famous person in the whole country. Everybody knew who Baptizer John was. He was telling everybody, "You got to get ready, the great rescue king's coming. The great rescue king's coming. The great rescue king's coming. He's coming. And then people came to him and he dunked them with water. He dunked them in water. He baptized them. And this was to show that they said, "We actually want to be rescued from sin. We don't want to keep sinning. We hate that we sin. We want to stop doing. We want the rescue king to help to rescue us from sin because we don't want to do it anymore." So a lot of people came to Baptizer John. Everybody came to Baptizer John. And they said, "Help us get ready for the rescue king. Help us get ready for the rescue king." And when people heard Baptizer John preaching about the rescue king, I bet you can guess who the rescue king's going to be. Uh-huh. Who's that, do you think? Jesus. He's going to... But wait, don't give away the story, Okay, don't give away the story. When Baptizer John was teaching everybody to get ready for the rescue king, everybody believed him. They were really excited. They heard him talking about the rescue king. They're like, yes, finally. We've been waiting for him forever. Our moms and dads told us about him. And their moms and dads told them about him. And finally, he's coming. They were so excited. Everybody came and everybody believed Baptizer John. Then one day, Baptizer John met Jesus. And God told Baptizer John, this is the one that you were born to tell everybody about. This is the guy. This is the rescue king. He is going to rescue everybody. Finally, John was told that it was Jesus that he was born to tell everybody about. And John was really, really excited about this. Then one day, we read that Baptizer John's helpers, they heard that Jesus, who is the big rescue king, right? Jesus is the rescue king. They heard that Jesus and his helpers were also baptizing people. That means they were dunking them in water, and that meant that people wanted to be rescued from sin, not just to keep sinning. They said, I want to be rescued from sin. And they, instead of going to John, who are they going to now instead of John? They're going to Jesus. And so they went to their leader, they went to Baptizer John, and they're like, oh, you're not famous anymore. Instead of going to you, people are going to Jesus, the great rescue king. Aren't you upset? And John said, I'm not upset. I'm not the rescue king. I told you the whole time, I'm not the rescue king. I never wanted anybody to think I was God's great rescue king. I wanted everybody to get ready for the rescue king to come. And I wanted everybody to run to him when he did come. So when he came and everybody ran to him, I was so happy about that. I'm not the rescue king. Then John said, it fills him with joy when people run to Jesus as their rescuer. And he tried to explain why. Has anybody ever been to a wedding? Put up your hand if you've been to a wedding. Okay? Has anybody seen a wedding, maybe seen a wedding on TV? Yeah? It's pretty special, right? It's like a really, really special time. You have a husband or a groom, a bridegroom, and then you have the bride, and they're all waiting, everybody's waiting, and finally they get together, and it's amazing. Everybody celebrates and they clap and they cheer and they have really good food afterwards. Yeah. It's really true. They have a big, huge party, a big celebration. It's really, really special. People are crying because they're so happy. Ever seen that? And you're like, why are people crying? Ever wonder that? Yeah. Well, yeah. I wonder that too sometimes. But Baptizer John said, that's kind of like what's happening here. He said, imagine that everybody in the world who ever trusted in Jesus is a little puzzle piece. Can you do this? Imagine that you are a little puzzle piece. Everybody who ever trusts in Jesus is a what? A puzzle piece. Okay. And he said, if you put all of those puzzle pieces together, it makes up a bride wearing a wedding dress. So not everybody is a bride wearing a wedding dress. But if you put all the pieces together, imagine this. It makes up a bride. Everybody together, the church, all the people who ever trusted in Jesus, makes up the bride. All right. And so the church, everybody who ever trusted in Jesus, who ever trusted in Jesus, right? That's the bride. And who do you think is the bridegroom? Come on. Jesus. Usually the answer is Jesus, just so you know, okay? So Jesus is the bridegroom. He's coming for the church, his bride. And John said, I'm not the bridegroom. I'm his friend. And it's my job. I get to tell the bride to don't worry, he's coming. Don't worry, he's coming. And I get to tell the bride, get ready, he's coming. And I get to tell the bride, hope in him, get ready. And it's my job to help her wait for him. So Jesus is the bridegroom. The church is the, and John is his friend. And he said, my job is to get them ready. So when the bridegroom comes, when Jesus comes, and the bride runs to him, when the people start running to him, I really love that because I love Jesus, and I love Jesus' church. I love his people. And he said, it's my joy that Jesus came and people run to him. And then John said something really, really cool. I think it's really helpful for us to remember. You guys all paying attention? All right. He said, Jesus is my joy. So, if Jesus is his joy, that means that when he hears about Jesus, his joy gets bigger. That means when he starts thinking less about himself and he starts thinking more about Jesus, his joy gets bigger. If he starts thinking more about himself and less about Jesus, his joy gets smaller. Yeah. He says when people start talking about how amazing Jesus is, his joy gets exactly. And whenever he's reminded that Jesus is the rescue king and he's not the rescue king, his joy gets bigger. And he gave him an even bigger reason that he was happy he's not the bridegroom. There was a real important reason that John said, I'm happy I'm not the bridegroom. There's a reason he said, I'm really glad I am not the rescue king. And he tells us why. Because the bride, the church, made up of everybody who trusts in him, sinned. That means disobeyed God. And everybody deserves a punishment. And in order for the church, the bride of Jesus, to be welcomed into heaven and to forever live happily ever after with Jesus, somebody would have to take her punishment. Somebody would have to take her punishment. The church needs a rescuer. The church needs a king, somebody who loves her, who comes from heaven and is perfect and in control of everything. And the church's, the bride's only hope is that God would send a bridegroom that loved her enough to take her punishment and even defeat death for her. She also needed him, this bridegroom, to be so great that he wouldn't deserve a punishment. In fact, he would deserve a prize from God, a reward from God, so that she can enjoy forever, share his prize with him forever. So the church's only hope was that the rescue king would deserve a reward so that she could share his reward with him forever. And Jesus was the one that God sent. He was great enough. He was perfect enough. And he loved her enough to do that. So many of you guys know that Jesus died on the cross. And that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. Did you know that? Jesus was being the bridegroom. He took the punishment of the bride. And who is the bride again? The church. And on the cross, he was taking her punishment. And on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And God told John to tell all of us that we do sin, that all of us sin. Every single person here in this room sins. Every person in this room does bad things and disobeys God. And every person in this room deserves a punishment. But God got John to tell everybody also that Jesus loved them enough to take their punishment and give them his prize if they would trust in him. If they would trust in him. So every person here, every boy and every girl, if you're young or if you're old, needs to trust in Jesus to be their rescue king. To rescue them from punishment and to trust him to rescue them from sin. Every person needs to do that. And if you do that, if you trust in Jesus as your rescue king, you get all kinds of wonderful things that only Jesus deserves. One of the greatest things is that if you trust in Jesus, you get to become one of God's kids. And that means he treats you as one of his kids. And he hears you if you talk to him, if you pray to him, he'll hear you as one of his kids. That's one of the gifts. The other thing, one amazing treasure that God gives to people who trust in Jesus as the rescue king is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God living inside of you. And he's God living inside of you to help you to trust in Jesus. He helps you to understand and believe the Bible. He's going to help you, the Holy Spirit. If you trust in Jesus, God gives you the Holy Spirit. And he will help you to hate sinning. He'll help you to admit when you sin. And he'll help you to stop sinning and even help you to say no to sin. And he will give you joy whenever you hear about Jesus. He'll give you joy, the Holy Spirit living in you if you trust in Jesus. He will give you joy when you sing about Jesus. And he will give you joy when you tell other people about Jesus. And when you read about Jesus. And he'll help you know God and love him. And the Bible tells us, guys, that one day Jesus is coming back to earth. Did you know that? One day Jesus is coming back to earth. And he's going to gather all the pieces, all the puzzle pieces, all the people who ever trusted in him. He's going to gather us all together. And every single person on the earth will face a punishment from God that will last forever. Except for those who trust in Jesus, because he already got their punishment on the... So when he comes again, the people who trust in him will share Jesus' reward together forever. The Bible, God tells us in the Bible that for many people, that day that he comes will be a very, very sad day. But for those who trust in Jesus, it will be the best day ever. It will be like the best wedding day ever. When everyone who trusts in Jesus, it'll be the day when the bride, who is the church, and the bridegroom, who is Jesus, forever get to enjoy his prize. And just like other weddings, there will be a feast to celebrate this. There'll be a really great feast to celebrate this wedding. That finally, the church and Jesus are together. Finally. But it'll be better than any other wedding celebration that's ever been celebrated. Right? And Jesus really wants the church to never stop thinking about that. To always remember that he's coming back and there will be a great celebration when she gets to come enjoy everything that Jesus deserves. He said, I don't want you to ever stop thinking about that. And so Jesus told us to do something special. He told us to do something special and keep doing it until he comes back. Anybody guess what that is? Anybody whose last name is not DeVries? What's that? Yeah. Communion, excellent. Communion, sometimes we call it Lord's Supper. He told us to get together as a church, just keep doing it, lots and lots and lots, and together eat bread and drink grape juice, okay? And he said that he's going to use that to help us remember the two most important days ever. Two most important days. One day that's already happened, and one day that's coming soon. So the one day he said that this is supposed to help us remember eating the bread together and drinking the juice together, the one day that already happened is the day that he died on the cross to take the punishment of the church, right? And he said the bread is supposed to remember, remind us of his, he's going to use the bread to remind us of his body, that his body was broken instead of ours being broken because he loved us so much. And he said that the grape juice is supposed to remind us that he died, that it was his blood. He bled so that we wouldn't have to. So it's supposed to remind us of a day that's already happened. Two most important days ever, a day that's already happened and a day that's going to come soon. And the other day that it's supposed to remind us of that's coming soon is the day he comes back and we get to celebrate the marriage between Jesus and the church. It's supposed to remind us of all the joy and celebration that we're going to have. And he said, I don't want you to ever forget that and never stop thinking about that. And he said that us doing this, celebrating communion or Lord's Supper together, he said, I will use that to help you never forget the day I died for you and the day that's coming soon when I'm coming back to bring you into all that I deserve. He tells us in the Bible that everyone who trusts in him, every single person who trusts in him, should do this. And he said, but only people who trust in him should do this. And if you don't trust in him yet, then you should wait until you do. And he tells us that we should also ask him to get us ready to celebrate this so that it'll actually be real helpful for us. It'll help our trust in Jesus. And it'll help our love for Jesus. So that's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to pray. There's some men are going to come up and help me serve everybody. And then what I'm going to do while they're walking up is I'm going to pray and ask God to get us ready to do this so it'll be real helpful. And again, if you're not sure you trust in Jesus yet, don't do it yet. But if you do trust in Jesus, that he's the rescue king, that he took your punishment, and that he rose after he died. He rose from the dead on the third day. If this is true of you, he says, do it, do it, do it. It'll help you to trust me more. Okay? All right. So let's pray together, and then we'll get ready to celebrate. Father in heaven, you are a good God, and you are a good dad. And the greatest gift you ever gave us was you gave us Jesus to take our punishment and to fight death and destroy death for us. God, help us to remember Jesus. Help us to trust in him. And help us to want to be rescued from sin. And God, I pray that if there's kids here or adults who aren't really sure, I ask that you would do a miracle in their hearts to help them to trust you and to look forward to you coming. God, I pray that as we celebrate communion, as we eat the bread and drink from the cup, that our trust in you would get bigger and our happiness in you would also get bigger. God, I ask that you do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Okay. First, what we're going to do